Father, we thank you for your blessings upon our life today. We thank you for the fellowship that we've had, the food you've supplied, and Lord, as we come to our last service for the day, Lord, for we just praise you and thank you that we can just gather around your word for a short time, and Lord, we pray you would bless us with it. These things we ask in Jesus' name, amen. And we've been looking at being crucified with Christ, and today, this afternoon, we're looking at crossing the Jordan River. Crossing the Jordan River. You know, you can always tell what level Christian teaching is on by the way the natural man, and by natural man I'm talking about the lost people, the lost souls, receives God's word. See, if the lost are favourable to what's being taught, then I'd put it to you, then it's not of God's spirit. Because we are assured in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You know, there is a certain type of Christian teaching that's acceptable and logical and received by the natural man. But the natural man, and when I talk today, we're looking at the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. When we're talking about the natural man, I'm talking about those who aren't saved. Those with an unregenerated soul. They cannot know that which is of the Spirit of God, because he or she, they have no way of receiving it. They do not have the capacity to receive it, because it is spiritually discerned. See, the lost soul is of the world. They may be intelligent. They may be very well presented and morally upright people. But that's only to a point. But the natural man, even though he can possess all those great qualities, is unsaved, and they're not blessed because they're out of God's grace. Now, the opposite to that is the spiritual man. This is the Christian who is mature in their faith, who are led, they're controlled, and they're taught by the Holy Spirit. They listen to whom the Holy Spirit, they're the people the Holy Spirit can speak to. And we also have the carnal man. Now that's the immature believer. They no longer belong in a natural state because they've been saved by the grace of God through faith, but they're in the middle of the two. They've settled, I like to put it, they're in the halfway house. They've come out from somewhere else, but they're not going on any further. They've stopped where they are. They've settled for the halfway house. They're definitely saved, no doubt about that, but they're not going forward in their spiritual life. And he or she, they're not influenced, they're not led, and they're not controlled by the Holy Spirit. They are led and controlled by what we would call biblically the lower nature. Now, it's the spiritual believer, the one who is living the crucified life. Well, they are taught, they are controlled and influenced by the Holy Spirit in their daily life. Now, the Old Testament type of the natural man, those not saved, was when Israel was dwelling in Egypt. And we're going to be looking at that a bit today. Most of their time there was in bondage to Pharaoh. Then God calls Moses, and through the blood atonement and power, Moses led the nation out of Egypt through the Red Sea, with that Red Sea closing between Egypt and Israel. And that's the type of a new birth. The new birth is what makes a lost soul a saved soul. It takes them out of a natural realm and then puts them into a state of grace. You see, Israel came out of Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, and that sea closed behind them, and the enemy, the old enemy, died. And for the first time in some 400 years, they were free. How were they set free? Redeemed by the blood through the power of God. That's the type. Now, the reality. And the Christian, for all his or her life, has been under the bondage, has been in chains that have been upon their spirit. They get saved, and they now, through the blood of the Lamb and the power of the Holy Spirit, have been brought out of what we would say Egypt, out of this world. And the Red Sea has closed behind them. You know, we sing a hymn when we baptize people, you know, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. I've decided to follow Jesus. You see, the land God had promised to Abraham, you know, we call it the promised land, was to be Israel's new home. And they were not only to come out of Egypt, they were also to be in the Holy Land with their spiritual home. God brought them out. Why? So he could bring them in. That's why he brought them out. So he could bring them in. And God brings us out, not just so we are out, but so he may also bring us in to a deeper relationship with himself. But you find a lot of that's not being taught today. You see, God takes a soul out of bondage and leads them into the promised land. And the further the man or woman goes into the promised land, the less they look back to the old world, the old land where they used to be. They speak different. They speak less about the old land and speak more about the land they now belong to. Now, how often do we thank God for that? You know, we should want to put the past behind us. And we can't always forget the past, but we can put it behind us. We can leave it on the other side of the Red Sea and not continue to live in it. You go to what some people call Christian bookstores today, and we just call them that, and you have a look at the books that are in those bookstores, and you're hard-pressed to find a book that's really Christian. The books are always talking about what people used to be. They're not talking about what they should be or can be. They're always talking about how they were. Nothing changes. What does the Bible say? Well, Ephesians 5:12 says, it's a shame even to speak of those things which have done of them in secret. You see, God brought us out so he could bring us in. He's taken us out of the natural life and has brought us into the spiritual life. Now, the natural man, the lost man, doesn't matter how religious, how clever, how smart, how talented, if a person is not a saved soul, they do not know anything about God or the spiritual life in Christ. They can know a history of those things, but they can never know the truth of those things. Now, the spiritual man, those of us who are born again, blood-bought believers, who are no longer in the natural state, but in a straight state of grace, sometimes we continue without going forward each year. Sometimes we go forward, but we sometimes take a step or two back. Sometimes we stay a bit closer to Egypt than the Holy Land. We will swing towards the Holy Land, but then we won't hop off the swing. We swing back to Egypt. Going forwards, going backwards. And sometimes, you know, we keep remembering that we were slaves to sin and to the world, and we're not pressing forward knowing we've been set free from that. You know, we swing forward, we go to a prayer meeting. We go to some special service. We move a bit closer to the Holy Land. We can almost touch it. But the reality is we don't go anywhere because we're on a pendulum. We're too busy swinging around. See, when a believer's not in a state of growth, he or she will go stagnant. Now, the best way to grow is to have something come in and then have something go out. If you just have a creek or something running into a pond with no outlet, the pond becomes stagnant sooner or later. So the spiritual believer allows the work of God to come in and then gives that work out. In other words, they're moving forward in their Christian life. You know, they do something while they have the opportunity to do something. the spiritual believer doesn't want to waste any time. They want to redeem the time because the days are evil. Now, the best time to dive into a spiritual life is when you're young in the Lord. You know, it's easier to teach people when they're young than when they're old. Some of us older folks, we can't be taught any new tricks, amen? We're stuck with the old ones. So when you're teaching your children the things of God, just remember the reward is God will be faithful to that teaching, and they'll get infused with this teaching, and as they grow and accept the Lord as their Savior, they'll grow in the Spirit, and they'll become spiritual people. But it's never too late to take the dive and press on. Then there's the carnal man, the immature believer. They don't go on. They've just slowed right up. They're not influenced by the Holy Spirit. They're not controlled by the Holy Spirit. They're under control still of their lower nature. You know, when Israel came to the promised land, when they were about to enter in, they weren't too sure. So they sent 12 spies in to get a report of the land, and they came back and they said, man, this land flows with milk and honey. But 10 of the 12 said, well, hang on a minute. We better not go in, even though it's a land of abundance, but there's giants in there, and there are people, they're big and they're strong. Let's just stay in the wilderness. And better still, let's go back to Egypt. Did they get back to Egypt? No, they didn't. No, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. You see, they settled for the wilderness rather than go up against the giants before them. But there were two, Joshua and Caleb. And they said, listen, Moses, we're ready to go in. We can take that land. Don't listen to the doubters. This is our land. God gave it to Abraham. So let's go and get it. It belongs to us. That's what they were after. We live in a day today, no one wants leaders anymore. There's nothing in the Old or New Testament to support that thought. The majority, 10 of the 12, came back with a bad report, and only two gave a favorable report. And when the people heard the majority, they wished they were back in Egypt under the bondage again that God had brought them out from. See, all they could see was walled cities and giants. See, they couldn't see the trees full of honey. The bees used to nest in hollow trees, and the trees used to drip with honey. There were the goats, there were the sheep, there was milk, there was meat. And what about the grapes they brought back? They had to carry it on a post between two men. They had forgot God said, go up and occupy the land, and I will give it to you. All they could see was the problems in front of them. In fact, Numbers 14:3, all they could think about was their wives and children becoming prey and being killed. And they're going, I wish we were back in Egypt. And this is the argument of the carnal man. This is the Christian who's not pushing forward. I've got things to think about, you see. I've got a wife. I've got a home. I've got my children. I've got a family. God doesn't want me to be unwise about all this. I can't surrender too far. No, I can't push it too much. I can't place my family under hardships. I can't put my wife under burdens. I can't surrender and allow the Holy Spirit to control my life. No. You see, these carnal believers, they're always worried about pleasing others before pleasing God. If only they would see when God occupies first place in a life, everything in a person's life will fit into the place it's supposed to be. They're saved, but not willing to live by faith, trusting in the promises of God. Do you know the best heritage a man can leave his family is that he walked with God. That he was a good man. A spiritual woman. She faces her stumbling blocks. You know, I've seen over the years that the family resists the mother. They speak down to her. They stand against her. They oppose her. And sometimes I've even heard children make their mother feel like she's stupid. And I'm only being truthful. That's what they do. And she's a godly woman. She'll walk away quietly. She'll be sadder, but she'll be smarter. She'll be weeping, but she'll be wiser. And she will admit the best testimony she can leave her family is that she too walked with God and was a good woman. And if you families have a mother and a wife like that, you need to be praising the Lord for it. You see, if God's people had only believed, they could have taken their wives and children with them into the promised land, they would have enjoyed the bounty of that land. Instead, they're so scared of what would happen to their families, they spent 40 years around and around and around in the wilderness. They go so far, so no, we're going back to the old ways. So far, no, we're going back to the old ways. They never reach where they should have been. Think about this. When they went into the promised land, how old is Daniel? How old is Daniel? 10? 10. When he would have went into the promised land, he would have been 50. That's his children. He would have been 50. The mother's majority would have been gone. 40 years in the wilderness. Why? We can't do it. It costs us too much. What's the real cost? See, children need godly parents to look up to. Who say, no, it doesn't matter the cost to honor and serve God. They're going to grow up and they're going to be like you. There's a legacy to be left by parents. That nothing is impossible for God. We can't go in, it costs too much. Oh, we can't go to a Sunday evening service, it's too late. Football finishes at 6. I won't get there on time. Oh, we can't have a special meeting during the week. We can't come out to that. We can't leave them alone. Our children might rebel. You know, the best way a husband, the best way a father can save his family from compromise and backsliding and complaining of the Christian life is to show them a man who loves God, who won't compromise. A man who seeks to be spiritual even if there is a cost. A man who won't listen to the devil's schemes. Oh, listen here, Dad. You give more than you should to the Lord's work already. Don't become too spiritual. Don't give him too much time. Your family will suffer. You know, Israel wandered 40 years in the wilderness, and by God's judgment, God said in Numbers 14:30, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb and the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. The only two. See, their doubts, their fear of death, their complaining, it says in verse 36 of Numbers 14 there, brought a slander to the land. listen, I say this in love because I include myself in this. Every man who stands in the shadows and slanders having a deeper spiritual life, every man who's refusing to press on and enter into the holy life is in the wilderness slandering the home of one's soul. Now, those who know me well know I very rarely fall into discouragement. I decided that that's a choice people make. But there is disappointments, many of them. And my heart gets very disappointed to walk with Christians who are refusing to get out of the wilderness and who continue to just stay where they are. Not going back to sinful lifestyle, I'm not talking about that, but not wanting to just go on into that deeper life with Christ. They too are on a swing, back and forwards. They get holier for a while, but never go on. They come back to where they were. Listen, I have seen people that they just don't go on to what God has purchased for them. I've seen people strive at careers. They get their degrees. They're people who start up businesses, you know, men and women, but they're never able to make a living out of it. They're always struggling and never getting anywhere. They never get to where they thought they should be. I had good friends in the ministry, pastors who said they were called to preach. They studied, they learned, they learned the doctrines, they learned Greek, they learned Hebrews. Very, very knowledgeable men, but they never came to anything. Both that I knew just left their families for someone else, chucked it all in. They couldn't do it. They wasted their opportunities. And all these men, these women, these ministers, you see, they failed. I want you to understand something. It is possible to be a Christian, no doubt about the reality of your salvation at all, yet still fail. That's the real possibility. And Israel's the picture of that truth. They were God's people, fed, clothed, protected, but failures. They weren't where God meant them to be. They were just stuck in the wilderness, in the halfway house, neither there nor here. And that's where many of the Lord's people are right now. That's how they live. And I pray they don't, but for many, that's how they'll die. Saved, born again, but never gone on in the Christian life. Praise God, He's a good God. Amen. Cheer up. He's a kind God. He's a compassionate God. You're having me thinking you're all in a halfway house at the moment. He's a good God, He's a kind God, He's a compassionate God, and God will not close His arm to those who call out to Him. They can hop into those outstretched arms and say, Father, I've made a mess of things, I'm a spiritual failure, I'm not doing out and out wicked things, but here I stand, I'm saved, I'm not satisfied, that's not your fault, it's mine. Not your fault, it's mine. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, will never say to that dear child of His, depart from me, I never knew you. He'll never say it to you. Never. He will never say that because that person has believed and does believe in Jesus Christ. That person has simply never gone on, never stepped forward and kept stepping forward in their Christian life. We come to Joshua 1:1-2. That's the text if you want it. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them. And look what it says. I love this. Even to the children of Israel. Isn't that beautiful? Even to the children of Israel. It reminds me of when the Lord was resurrected and everyone, they see him. And remember, the Lord said to the people, he said, listen, go and tell people. And Peter, remember he singled Peter out the same way? See, we if we belong to him, he'll never cast us out. When we belong to him, his arms are always open waiting for us to come in. And there's a New Testament scripture that pictures this very well. It's 1 Corinthians 3. And you know where I'm going. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Praise the Lord. Thanks be unto God. If you're born again, you are going to make it. You are going to make it. But do we really want to make it in the way we're living right now? Do we really want to make it that way? Wandering around, almost there, but never quite putting our toe in the river. Almost there. Especially there's a place, a blood-bought place, a mercy seat available to us believers. And God would have us enter in to the Holy of Holies by that new and living way, Jesus Christ. A place we can go to be renewed, revived, and refed. See, and God's will for us is that we live a separated, clean, holy, sacrificial life that moves forward deeper and deeper into spiritual life and an encounter with himself that is just an experience that is awesome. You see, the deeper we walk in the ocean, the more we think we're going to drown. But if that ocean is heading towards God, he'll take us by the hand and take us through. See, that deep, deep relationship he wants with us makes a difference to those around us. See, there's nothing God can't do for us. Surely that's better than the way it's being done now. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us. It's a simple word, Lord, but it's a very confronting and really real word, Father. It gives us life itself. We come face to face with the author. And you love us so much, Lord. You don't want us to flounder. You want us to flourish in our walk with you. We begin to understand what it means to have joy in trials. To weep with those who are weeping. To laugh with those who are laughing. To endure no matter the cost or the hardship we face. Because we know, Lord, you're there with us. And we have a home in the promised land to come. And we thank you for that. We praise you for it, Lord. And Lord, just instill in us through your Holy Spirit the courage to say yes to you. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.